Morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you for being here this morning on this Memorial Day weekend and taking part in worship. These last few weeks, we've been having a lot of different things going on in the life of the church, from the marathon weekend and then on to our church retreat last week. And so for those of you who were here at Eastminster last week, I thank you for being present. And for those of you who came to the church retreat, thank you for being present for that time. And thankful again for Reverend Cheryl and for all the people who got the retreat ready for us this last week. It was a blessed time. We've been going through some scriptures recently. These scriptures all have a common element in them. And the element is the Holy Spirit. You might have noticed that. You might have heard it. You might have seen or noticed that we were talking about the Spirit moving in us. But today's scripture also has that element. It's about us being moved by the Spirit. What does it mean to be guided by the Spirit, in the Spirit? And so I'm going to just jump right into it and read the passage of scripture. It comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, if you would like to follow along. It is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia, and at the end of his letter, he says this: "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. And we thank you for the Spirit of which it speaks. May your Spirit be with us, that what I speak and what we meditate on and what we receive and take forth in faith would be of you. And we pray this in your name, our Lord Jesus. Amen. As we move from scripture to scripture, one thing that we miss is being able to unpack the context. We are coming to Paul's letter to Galatians at the end of it. We didn't talk about Galatians last week. And so in a whole lot of ways, we're going to miss most of what Paul is saying. But I want you to bear with me and just focus in on this message about living in the Spirit and being guided by the Spirit. This is the word that we have for today, the word that Paul is bringing forth, that when you have faith in Jesus Christ, something begins to happen, and that is this: you get moved by the Spirit, affected by the Spirit of God in you. To start off this morning, I want to just give an image, a brief story. It's a story of me and my family some time back. We traveled down to Texas some time ago to visit my mom and my brothers and my sister and their respective families. And we went down to East Texas to be with them, to enjoy their company in a familiar place. And that was my mom's place out in East Texas. She and her husband, they had some land out there, a little farm. And they, on that land, they had built several small cabins. It was a really wonderful spot for all of us, all of our families, to gather together and spend the week together. And it was fun, you know? And in a Texas sort of way, it was also beautiful. And what I mean by that is that it was springtime, and so the land was relatively green, and it was relatively mild, the weather. It wasn't yet scorching hot outside, and so that allowed us all to go inside and outside to enjoy ourselves. And along with that, around the cabins were these beautiful pine trees and cedar trees and mesquite trees. And because I had grown up in that area or close to that area, that kind of landscape, I was in some kind of sense impervious to all the side effects of these trees, making me think that the environment was beautiful and fun. My kids, however, were not impervious to this kind of landscape. And don't worry, guys, I'm not going to embarrass you or say too much about you other than to say that you were affected by the landscape's side effects. They got all kind of messed up, which was what happens whenever we are not resistant or familiar to the springtime allergies of a place, especially those allergies that come from cedar trees and mesquite trees. People get all itchy and sneezy and puffy until eventually they get sick, which is why so many people call it cedar fever. And that's what happened to us. My kids got cedar fever. They got itchy and sneezy, and eventually they got sick, even though they had been taking all the Benadryl that you can possibly take at any one point safely. But even then, the environment was affecting them. It was only after we left that environment and went back home that their bodies were able to recover and reset from those allergic reactions that they were having on that land. Now, listen, we did okay on that trip, nonetheless. We also enjoyed our time with our families in the midst of those allergy attacks. And so I'm not putting that time down with my family. Rather, I want to highlight a truth. And that truth is this: our environments can affect us. They can affect our health. They can shape our mindsets. They can lead us to take up certain actions that we wouldn't necessarily do elsewhere, because our environments can affect us and shape us, right? They don't determine everything. We know that. I mean, my family, we were down in Texas in the midst of allergy season, and for the most part, we were all still loving and kind to each other. I won't get any further into that. But these environments that we live in, they can affect us and move us and shape us. And I say this because the Apostle Paul was saying something similar to the Galatians, the people of Galatia. And he was saying this at the end of his letter to the church. He was exhorting them to do this, to pay attention to the environment or the realm in which they dwelled, because it was going to shape how they lived in this world. Now, Paul, he wasn't so much talking about the physical or the material environments around the people of Galatia, but instead he was talking about their spiritual environments. Even though I think Paul would say the physical and the material environments can affect us, like I said before, they don't still get to the root cause of who we are and how we act in this world. As I said, you can be in a physical environment that is difficult and still remain a loving and kind person, but the spiritual environments can have a way of affecting even that part of us. The spiritual environment that Paul is speaking of in this fifth chapter, it can affect our eternal character. It can influence who we are and what we do and who we will become in this world, but also in the next. Therefore, Paul wanted the church to pay attention to the spiritual environments that we inhabit. And now I want you to hear this, because there's not a lot of spiritual environments that we can inhabit. For the Apostle Paul, there are two spiritual environments in which we can dwell. The first is called the flesh, and the second is called the spirit. And just so that we can get this into our minds, I want you to say these environments with me. I'm going to say it first. You repeat after me. Flesh.
Flesh.
Spirit.
Spirit.
Two environments. All right, now you can stop repeating after me. Unless you want to say the whole sermon with me. We'll go phrase by phrase. That might be interesting, huh? We'll be out of here by 4:00. Thank you, though. It does. It says that everybody's paying attention. That's right. Flesh and the spirit. These are two spiritual environments that can shape us and influence us and determine how we act in this world and who we will become in this world and the next. Unless we think that Paul is simply making a divide between our body, this stuff, and the hidden spirit within, we should recognize, first of all, that he's not doing that. This stuff, the body, the material, is not what Paul is meaning when he talks about the flesh. Because you can have this stuff be just as spiritual as a spirit that is acting in a carnal way. So Paul, when he talks about these two environments, the flesh and the spirit, he isn't talking about a material and physical environment compared to a better hidden spiritual one. He's not interested in having us forget that we are bodies in this world, or that the physical and material environments don't matter, or that they do matter. That's not what Paul was speaking about. Rather, Paul is referring to this: how we relate to God and how we relate to one another. And in that sense, there are only two possibilities for us, two environments that can affect us, two spiritual realms in which we can dwell that will determine who we are, what we're going to do, and who we become: the spirit and the flesh. Now, the spiritual realm of the flesh is this: it is a life lived by one's own determination. It's the spiritual environment that is constantly saying this to us: you make who you will become. It is all up to you. Therefore, do this. Don't do that. If you do this, then you will be counted as correct and good and right and successful before others. But if you don't do that, then you will be condemned. You will be rejected. You'll be put off. And this is what makes us: our own determination. So pay attention to yourself, says the environment of the flesh. Because this environment, this realm of the flesh, is a realm in which life is consumed with itself. Turned in on itself, focused in on itself, so much so that it is willing to believe and say and act as if the most important thing that could possibly happen in this world is what happens to you. Now, for the Galatians, I want you to hear this. They were Christians. Paul is not speaking about non-Christians and Christians. He's speaking to the church. Therefore, the church can move between the spiritual realm of the flesh and the spiritual realm of the spirit. And he's speaking to the church and warning them, because for the Galatians, this got into the way that they were relating to God. As I said, they believed in Jesus. They were people of faith in the Lord, but more than anything else, they wanted to be sure of themselves. And so they started to do other things to get right with the Lord other than to trust in his mercy and his grace. They started to demand other things of people, insisting that if a person wanted to be right with the Lord, then they had to prove it instead of simply accept it. And in some ways, that all seemed good for them. Because here's the issue with these two spiritual realms. In the spiritual realm of the flesh, people can do remarkable things when they put themselves first. They can become successful when they focus in on themselves. They can create lives that appear to be good and right and moral according to the standards of the time. However, the Apostle Paul warned them, and in so doing warns us, that there is always a consequence to living out our lives in the spiritual environment of the flesh. And the consequence is this. The end result is always the same, and it is this. When we live our lives in the spiritual environment of the flesh, the end result is always the destruction of community. And the eventual loss of the blessed kingdom of God. The true measure of things, according to the Apostle Paul, regardless of how one might look successful, regardless of how good one might appear to be in the eyes of the world and even in the eyes of the church, the true measure of things is to watch for what happens in community through us. If we begin to rip apart community from its intended purpose to be whole with others, if we divide out people into factions and enemies and force people to live among themselves, we can be sure of this. They are influenced and affected by the spiritual environment of the flesh. Just as assuredly as my kids had been affected by that Texas environment during cedar fever season, when we see destruction of community, we can know that the realm of the flesh is at play. On the other hand, if we want to see the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in us, such as love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, then we have to live our lives out in the spiritual environment of what Paul calls the Spirit. And he's referring to the Spirit of God. That's what happens to us when we dwell in the Spirit, when we dwell in that environment. What happens is we become more and more like the Lord and who we are and what we do. The Spirit gets in us. It stirs us to live no longer just for ourselves, but for the good of one another. The Spirit gets in us and stirs us to become more and more Christ-like, more and more pleasing to the Lord, because we've been surrounded by the Spirit, influenced by the Spirit, affected by the Spirit, so that we begin to live out of God's love instead of our own self-centeredness. Love is how we get into the realm of the Spirit in the first place. Not by what you have done, not by deciding that you're going to be in the Spirit, but by love. God's love for you puts you in the environment of the Holy Spirit. It is given to you as a free gift in and through the grace of Jesus Christ, which is why Paul said to the church something very similar in another place in the Bible. He says this to the Colossians. He says, God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In other words, God has done this for you. He has put you in the environment of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit, the environment that can shape us and influence us and affect us towards the things that God wants in our lives, is an absolute and total gift. We don't get it by our own journeys or our own efforts, but instead we are brought into it whenever we trust that God loves us freely. Not because we have been good, not because we have been sinless, not because we have shown ourselves as better than others, not because we have done anything right to get God's attention, but simply because God is good. And gracious, and has decided to love you and me because he wants to love us. That's what puts us in the environment of the Spirit. And when you trust that and depend on it and you don't add anything to it, then you live in that environment and you are filled and surrounded by the Spirit of God more and more because you believe this word that comes from Scripture that says that God has proved his love for us in that while we were sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. Not after you've figured it out, not after you've gotten it all together, but while we were sinners. And friends, I don't know about you, but even today and even now, I still struggle with sin. And yet, I'm still in the environment of the Spirit. It is not your actions that determine whether or not you are in the realm of the flesh or the realm of the Spirit. It is your trust in God's goodness towards you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
When we believe this and we trust in it, then God's Spirit surrounds us, fills us, and dwells in us, creates an environment around us so that what begins to happen is we just start to become humble and patient and gentle. We just start to love others as God has loved us. We just start to become generous and faithful and self-controlled, because how could you not when you are surrounded by the Spirit of God? This is what it means to be in the environment of God's Holy Spirit. It means that you are in a place where you see God's love all around you. And because of that, you live no longer unto yourself, but instead you recognize that your life belongs to the Lord. And no matter what your life holds, no matter what you might be encountering or facing, no matter any of that, you remember that your life is a gift that has been given to you by God so that you can share the goodness of the Lord with others. You do not need to prove this to anyone else. You don't have to prove it to yourself. You don't need to add anything that takes you beyond God's grace. For anything that goes beyond God's grace only puts you back into the realm of the flesh, where we begin to destroy one another in order to lift ourselves up as saying, now I think I'm worthy of God's grace. But that leads to the problem that Paul was talking about, which is the destruction of community. However, in the realm of the Spirit, where we do trust in the grace and the mercy of the Lord for ourselves and for one another, we live by the Spirit, we are guided by the Spirit, we're led to the fruit of the Spirit, and we start to bring forth good things, not just for ourselves, but for others as well, because we have been set free from all that self-centeredness. We've been set free to no longer be self-centered, but God's grace-centered. That's who you are. People centered in on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this world needs. In this time, it needs a people who trust that they have been loved by God simply because God is good. A people who trust that when you go out and you can speak that trust, that what you're saying, it's not just that God loves you, because if God is gracious like that to you, you know that he's going to be gracious to others in the same way. Even to your enemies. We need a church who is living by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, so that in this world comes not further destruction of community, but instead love, joy, peace, patience. Help me out. What are some other things that might come forth if you live in the Spirit? Kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law, which means this. If you do that, there's nothing to prevent you. God has made the way so that you can be that kind of person. Are you dwelling in the environment of the Spirit? If you trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the answer is yes. Brothers and sisters, live by the Spirit, be guided by the Spirit. Bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us continue in worship.